Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our Lord had come to the temple for the last time. He had come before, overturning the table of the money changers. He had come this time, healing and teaching. He had come before, first brought by his parents to fulfill the law, then brought by the devil to be tempted at the pinnacle of the temple. Now, this last time, as he was about to fulfill the great law, the great commandment, he was also tested by those whose father was the devil, and plied with questions from the chief priests, the elders, the Sadducees, and the Pharisees. In these chapters, recording our Lord's time in the temple, Matthew 21 and 22, there are many questions. Chief priests, Sadducees, Pharisees, 7, Jesus, 14. He's up on them by at least 7 questions. What would have caused the chief priests, the elders, the Sadducees and Pharisees to ask the kind of questions that they asked, questions that did not seem to be prompted by love? Perhaps it is because our Lord Jesus Christ, both implicitly and explicitly, was questioning them. What our Lord Jesus Christ was about to do would make superfluous everything that was to be done in that temple by the chief priests. How would you respond if your very life's work was to be made superfluous? And for the Pharisees, well, our Lord Jesus Christ didn't seem to have too high a regard for all of their works, even though they outwardly, more than anyone else, attempted to praise God and to thank Him and to glorify Him and with all of their works to give Him glory, to show how much they loved Him. And time and again, Jesus brought into question their work. What kind of questions would we ask or be asked? Would we ever be likely to respond as the Sadducees and Pharisees and chief priests? Because our Lord Jesus Christ, when He proclaims the law, questions our very inmost being, our very human nature, standing before God, our foundation, according to the human flesh. We might just consider it a bit irritating if someone were to start asking us questions about our love and our works, especially when we have taken vows or made pledges that we are going to serve the Lord with all our life and with all our power. With our gold and silver to go here and there. Our Lord Jesus Christ could say, "Have you?" And so of all the questions that are asked in the temple at that time, this one seems to stand out in a way. The question about the great commandment. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, with all your strength and with all your mind. And a commandment which is in communion with that, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. How the Apostle John shows that the two may not be separated. He says that anyone who says he loves God but hates his neighbor is a liar. Our Lord Jesus Christ would answer the questions with his life. And the great commandment, which silenced the Sadducees and the Pharisees. And unfortunately, the silence was more seething than it was soothing for the Pharisees, who should have responded to this commandment, not, okay, I can love you, God, with all my heart, soul, strength, and mind. Look. Look how well I do, better than all the rest. But to this commandment, and to all the parenetic sections of the epistles which follow under it, the proper response is Kyrie eleison, Lord, have mercy. And to find in the work of our Lord Jesus Christ the fulfilling of this law for our sakes. How I wish I could say, Lord, I love you. But I must confess time and again, as we do the divine service, I have not loved you with my whole heart. I have not loved my neighbor as myself. And he speaks to me and to you who has fulfilled the great law, loving God, loving neighbor, our Lord Jesus Christ, who did it in his death on the cross. It is then when we see good and gracious works done among us, not for us to say, look, God, how well I am loving you. Look, God, how well I am loving my neighbor. But where we see works of love, grace, give thanks to our Lord, who has not only fulfilled the commandment, but has filled us with life and spirit through that forgiveness. It is a great joy to see the works of love that are extended to one another. In the congregation here on campus, the work of the Lutheran Women's Missionary League. And yet, it is not to our credit. These works are not that we may say how well we have done, but are really that overflowing of his love and life into ours through the forgiveness of sins, by his very body and blood, which give us that life and that love. So the great commandment, the very questions that the Lord God could ask of us on Judgment Day, are answered in our Lord Jesus Christ, who has fulfilled the great commandment and has fulfilled us by his forgiveness, his life, and his love. Amen.